This is 89.1 WEMU, and the theme should serve as notice. It's time for this week's edition of Cinema Chat. I'm David Fair, alongside Russ Collins from the Michigan Theater. We love to talk movies, and we love to get you interested in movies. And Russ, you were away last week, but while you were gone, the Ann Arbor Film Festival was brought to conclusion for the in-person part of it,
right,
anyway.
Right.
And I understand it was successful.
It was. It felt great. The numbers were good, best since COVID. Right there with what it was pre-COVID. So that's amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Congratulations to all who made that happen.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Leslie has done a great
Leslie
job.
Leslie Raymond, right.
Yeah, with the festival. And the vibe in the theater is really good. The Ann Arbor Film Festival has been around for a very, very long time, since 1963, and it has grown, it has matured, but it still is what it is, which is an experimental film festival. Experimental film means something different in 2024 than it did in 1963.
Right, there's an interesting compare-contrast.
But it's still kind of, it's pushing the aesthetics, it's playing with the language of experimental film that developed in the 60s and 70s, and the team at the Ann Arbor
Challenging modern sensibilities. Yeah. That is consistent.
Absolutely. And so anyway, congratulations to Leslie Raymond and the Ann Arbor Film Festival team. The next thing that we can look for, of course, are the movies this week. But after that, we can look forward to the Cinetopia Film Festival.
I can't tell you how many people have reached out to me and just thrilled to death that Nick Aldrink announced that Cinetopia was returning in last week's Cinema Chat.
That's right. So June 13th through 23rd, it's going to be during the Ann Arbor Summer Festival. So we're working in cooperation with the Ann Arbor Summer Festival, and it will be a part of the Ann Arbor Summer Festival. Most of the screenings will be at the Michigan and State, but we're also going to do a couple screenings at the Mendelsohn Theater, which was opened in 1929, the year after the Michigan Theater opened. It's in the Michigan League.
You love that year of bragging rights,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, I do. I feel like I was born in those years. And it was opened with a projection booth. And that surprises a lot of people because it's a 600-seat theater, beautiful little theater. But it started out with doing plays and other things in the theater, but it also had a movie program that was part of its original configuration. And Frank Yulee wrote a book about early Ann Arbor and the cultural dynamic, the artistic dynamic of cinema.
And that was part of it.
So it's pretty exciting. But yeah, mark your calendar for June 13th through 23rd, Cinetopia Film
Festival.
And
to define again what that is, it is taking the best movies from the festivals
around the world.
And bringing them into one festival.
Yep, from Sundance to the TrueFoss Documentary Festival to the Cannes Film Festival to Berlin, you know, all the great
fun
festivals.
Stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're mostly narrative films, which the Ann Arbor Film Festival, some people say, well, what's the difference between the two? Well, the Ann Arbor Film Festival is a really wonderful genre festival or a particular kind of film. And the Cinetopia Festival, we curate things out of other festivals. So we're looking to, you know, provide that a little bit extra boost to filmmakers that are looking for wide distribution on their film. So looking forward to it. And again, June 13th through 23rd. Well, opening this week, we're very proud to have something that we don't usually have, which is a horror film, The First Omen, which is a prequel to the Omen film that came out in 1976, and it starred Gregory Peck and Lee Remick, and it was directed by Richard Donner. This film stars Akasha Stevenson, Neil Tiger Free, who you may know from Game of Thrones, and Ralph Ineson from The Witch, and Bill Nighy, the great British actor. And we're showing it in 35 millimeter, and there's only, I think there's eight places around the country that is playing in the big cities that you would expect: New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Atlanta, Dallas, and then the four great art house towns in the United States.
Ann Arbor among them.
Ann Arbor, Cambridge, Massachusetts, and Portland, Oregon. So
nice.
We're very pleased to have that.
So question. why has the studio or the director or the producers decided to put this particular film on 35 millimeter? Was it to create a particular aesthetic?
Yes, absolutely. So films these days are pretty much captured digitally,
right,
and then shown digitally. Well, that's not always the case. And this film works out. And the aesthetic of digital cinema is based on how film worked. And so when you think of a movie aesthetic, you think of how images were captured on film. And so to actually capture them on film and then show them on film, there's both a nostalgia and a really interesting subtle difference between digital and celluloid. And, you know, there's virtues.
But you cinephiles will know for sure.
Well, it's kind of the difference between CDs and vinyl records.
Right.
You know,
there's
certain
a depth to it.
Yeah, there's a certain warmth to the analog nature of things, but there's also things that can happen to the materials.
Yeah.
So you can get a scratch on a vinyl record. You can't get a scratch on a digital CD or a download. But there's all kinds of other things that can go wrong with digital. So anyway, there is no better or worse. It's just kind of a subtle, very interesting difference. And we're really proud to be one of eight places in the country that isn't a big city.
So that's the first open, Omen, opening Friday, April 5th. On 35 millimeter film. The tickets on sale now. You are listening to Cinema Chat on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair alongside the Michigan Theater's Russ Collins and Wicked Little Letters. I love the title. What am I going to love the movie?
You'll love the movie. So the critical consensus is thanks to a strong cast that leans into the story's humorous side, Wicked Little Letters is a diverting comedy. So this film has a great British cast led by Olivia Colman.
You need no go further. In my book.
That's true. And Jesse Buckley. But Gemma Jones is in it and Timothy Spall and a lot of other really great actors. And it's based on a true scandal that took place in the 1920s. And it follows an investigation into anonymous letters that were sent that were rather numerous and crude and insulting in the content for the residents in this small seaside town. So they're trying to figure out who sent these letters and what their motivation was. The film premiered at the Toronto Film Festival in September. And again, the reviews indicate it's going to be something that you're really, really going to enjoy.
That sounds right up my alley.
A British black comedy with a great, great cast. So that opens up on Friday
as
well.
How's that late night classic series been going that you've had running for a couple of months now?
It's been going well. And this weekend should be no exception. We're doing Donnie Darko, which is the 2001 cult classic, and that's going to be at 9:30 at the State. Coming up next week is Step Brothers, and those are always a lot of fun. And we also repeat what we did the previous week. We didn't do that this week because of the Ann Arbor Film Festival. But anyway, the Light Night Classic series is going very, very well. And then we've got a special screening that was put together by the University of Michigan's Asian American Studies Program, the Institute for the Humanities, and the Michigan Theater. And it's called the Reemergence Series. It's Asian American Histories and Futures. And the film that's being shown this week on Friday at 7 o'clock is Bengali Harlem. And it's about a youth growing up in Harlem's Washington Carver projects in the 1970s and the hip-hop and graffiti art that was around. But he's turned away from his Bangladesh museum Muslim parents and rejected because he's adopted these American art forms. So it's a complication of the immigrant life. And
interesting.
Definitely worth checking out.
I missed that back in 2002 somehow.
Yeah, we were a little too old, I think. But it's a very compelling film, and we're very, very proud to be showing that film. And then the We Can Do It, Pioneering Women of Hollywood's Golden Age, continues with The Hitchhiker, which is from 1953, directed by Ida Lupino, who was also a movie star. And it stars Edmund O'Brien and Frank Lovejoy, who's on a fishing trip, and it's a terrifying turn when a hitchhiker is picked up and and it turns out to be a sociopath. So very interesting film, Hitchhiker 1953, directed by Ida Lupino. Carmen Jones is coming up next week, and check that out. We have a documentary film called Food Inc. 2, which is a follow-up to Food Inc., and it's put together around authors Michael Pollans and Eric Schlosser, who have been preaching the complexity and difficulty of the food dynamic.
Yeah, very vulnerable food system.
Yep, right. Our Japanese studies film series continues with Kaisani, and you can check that out on Thursday. And
tonight,
we continue with a lot of great films. Don't miss Problemista, that's playing along with a lot of other first-run films, including some that won or nominated for Academy Awards.
There's a lot of movies to choose from. We hope you enjoy at least one. Let us know what you chose and how you enjoyed it. Then we'll talk more movies next week. I'm David Fair, and for Russ Collins, we thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Cinema Chat. You hear it every Thursday, only on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM, Ypsilanti.
Ta-ta, in 35 millimeter.